السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And welcome to the mothers of the believers. Last episode we spoke about Juwayriyah bint al-Harith رضي الله عنها. And inshallah this episode we're going to talk about Umm Habiba رضي الله عنها. Umm Habiba, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. So inshallah we're going to talk about her story when we begin inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. We're going to begin today by talking about Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, and her real name was Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. And even Abu Sufyan, that name itself is a patronymic. So her name is Ramla, the daughter of Sakhr ibn Harb. And she was called Umm Habiba because of her daughter Habiba, so she's referred to as the mother of Habiba. Her father, as I said, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, of course later on he becomes a Muslim during the conquering of Mecca, but he was one of the most fierce leaders of the Meccan army and one of the biggest enemies of Islam. And he led the armies of the Quraysh against the Muslims at Uhud and at the Battle of the Confederates, or the Battle of the Khandaq or Al-Ahzab, same name, same battle. So this was Abu Sufyan, this was her father. Now her mother was also the aunt of Uthman ibn Affan. Her name was Safiya bint Abil As, and she was the aunt of Uthman ibn Affan. Just the interesting part of that is that you see sometimes a lot of these links when you look at who is related to who. There's always some kind of link that you can find. That's why I'm mentioning these names, not to confuse anybody. Her husband, because again, she was married to someone before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her husband was Ubaydullah ibn Jahsh. And remember we spoke about Zainab bint Jahsh. This was her brother, Ubaydullah ibn Jahsh, the brother of Hamna and Zainab bint Jahsh. Zainab bint Jahsh, of course, the mother of the believers that we spoke about. And basically they took part in the second migration to Abyssinia. What does that mean? There's a first group that went to Abyssinia, and they were part of the second group, Ubaydullah ibn Jahsh and his wife Umm Habiba. And it was said that when she went to Mecca, she was actually pregnant. When she left from Mecca to Abyssinia, she was actually pregnant with Habiba, and she gave birth to her there in Abyssinia. So this was Umm Habiba, Ramla bint Abu Sufyan. Her husband, Ubaydullah ibn Jahsh, migrated to Abyssinia with the second group. And there, while they stayed there in the beginning, they were happy and pleased because they had escaped all the punishment and the torment of the Quraysh, how they were torturing the Muslims. She said, In a dream, I saw my husband, Ubaydullah ibn Jahsh, in the worst and ugliest of forms. Like his face had become like disfigured. So she said, I became alarmed. And she said to him, in some narrations, she said to him that your condition has become altered. And in other narrations, she just, after the dream, didn't say anything to him. He came to her in the morning and he said, Ya Umm Habiba, I thought about religion. He's talking about the past, before Islam. I thought about religion, and I didn't think there was any religion better than Christianity, so I took it as my religion. Then I joined the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I now revert to Christianity. So then she tells him, by Allah, you are without good. There's no good in you. And she tells him about the dream. So as a warning, I saw you in a dream and your face was disfigured. But he did not listen to her. He did not take her advice. And he kept on consuming and drinking wine until he died. So he died shortly thereafter, after entering into Christianity. Here there's another narration. Now Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, she's left in a strange land in Abyssinia without relatives. She is originally the daughter of one of the chiefs of the Quraysh. Now here she is without a husband, without anyone to take care of her, and she's got her young daughter Habiba with her. It is said that she goes to sleep, and in a dream she sees as if someone is coming to her, and he says to her, Umm al-Mu'mineen, mother of the believers. That's all that she saw. So she says, I was alarmed, and I interpreted it as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will marry me. So she saw this probably as a good sign. Now, we said her situation was a difficult one, being with her daughter, without a husband, without even relatives in this far land, with no relatives and with no one. So here, she kept just making dua and being patient and asking for a better replacement. Then, when the Prophet ﷺ heard of her situation and her being one of the daughter of one of the chiefs of the Quraysh, the Prophet ﷺ sent to her Amr ibn Umayyah. He sent Amr ibn Umayyah to Najashi. Najashi, by the way, the king of Abyssinia, and he had accepted Islam in secret. And all the Muslims knew that, but it was a well-kept secret. So he sent Amr ibn Umayyah to Najashi, and he said, you know, if she agrees that the Prophet ﷺ would be wed to her, and then Najashi would be like the wakil, there was someone entrusted on the part of the Prophet ﷺ to complete the marriage ceremony. So Najashi sent a slave girl, her name was Abraha. So Abraha went to Habiba, and Habiba was, of course, overjoyed by the proposal of the Prophet ﷺ, that now she will become one of the wives of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one of the mothers of the believers. So she was so overjoyed, it is narrated that she took off everything of value that she had, from bracelets, from anklets and rings, and just gave it to the servant girl Abraha. And she tells her that, I just don't have money to give you. And so Abraha tells her, the servant girl tells her, appoint someone to give you in marriage. And she chose Khalid ibn Sa'id ibn al-As. And then they went and they had the wedding ceremony. So basically in the ceremony, Najashi, he gave a speech, and Khalid ibn Sa'id ibn al-As gave a speech, and then the Muslims all had a simple feast. And the Najashi, the king and Najashi, he gave 400 gold dinars as the dowry. He gave it on behalf of the Prophet ﷺ to Habiba. So Habiba radiallahu anha was so pleased. So then she brought again the servant girl Abraha, who gave her the good news that the Prophet ﷺ wants to marry you. And she gave her 50 gold dinars. And 50 gold dinars, a lot of money, she gave to the servant girl. She said, last time I didn't have money to give you. So now she gives her these dinars on top of what she gave her of bracelets and anklets and rings and so on. Just to show you how pleased she was at this news. But then something happens. The next day, the servant Abraha, the slave girl who was given the 50 dinars of gold, she comes back and she gives it back to Habiba. This gift that Habiba gave her, the 50 gold dinars, she comes back the next day and she gives it back to her. Why would she do something like that? Why would she give back this gift to the mother of the believers? We'll find out when we come back from the break, inshallah.
Hajj, the journey of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is geared as an educational documentary that will take the audience through the footsteps of Ibrahim and the Muslims today as they perform the once-in-a-lifetime journey of Hajj. The story is told by some of our well-known scholars of today as they reveal the importance and significance of the Muslim's Hajj and how it relates to the journey of the father of religions, Ibrahim.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're talking about the story of Habiba radiallahu anha. We said that when she got the proposal of the Prophet ﷺ, the news was brought to her by the servant girl, Abraha. She gave her, Habiba took off all her jewelry, everything of value, and gave it to her because she was so pleased. And then when they gave her the 400 dinars, gold dinars, as a dowry, she gave 50 of them to Abraha. And then the next day, Abraha comes and she returns the money, and this is the reason. She says that the king and Najashi, he tells me to not take any money from you, and rather he now sent her with a lot of gifts to Habiba. And so they brought her aloes and oils and saffron and ambers and all sorts of like excellent gifts for her. And they gave that to her because she said, and Najashi ordered all the women to send gifts to you, because now she is one of the wives of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Abraha, she says, I don't want the money, I don't want any kind of gift, I just want you to do one thing. I want you to convey my salam to the Prophet ﷺ, because I have entered into Islam. I just want you to give my salam, my greetings to the Prophet ﷺ. And it is said that every time, and this is just the sweet part of the story, it's this young girl who becomes a Muslim, but already she loves the Prophet ﷺ so much. So whenever she visited Habiba, she would tell her to, don't forget, she would tell her, do not forget what I need you to do. You have to give the salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's see what happens. Habiba radiallahu anha, she gets married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This wedding takes place in the first year after the Hijrah. But she doesn't get to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the seventh year after the Hijrah. So for 6 years or so, or close to seven, she stays in Abyssinia, and then on the seventh year, they come back to Medina, and that's when she finally gets to consummate and meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, love, of course, there's a lot of wisdom behind this marriage, and we said some marriages have to do with social status, some were for humane reasons, some were for possibly da'wah, had da'wah wisdoms in them. Besides the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want to leave a woman in a strange land unmarried and no one takes care of her or sends her money, also she is the daughter now of almost the sole leader of the Quraysh, because all of the leaders of the Quraysh, they had died in the battles of Badr and those who died at Uhud. So now this is almost the sole leader, which is Abu Sufyan, and this is his daughter now. So but when the Prophet ﷺ was wed to her, this encouraged the Quraysh to become Muslim, because now this is the daughter of their noble and she has become the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. It's interesting that it's said in some narrations when Abu Sufyan heard of Habiba being wed to the Prophet ﷺ, he was pleased and he said he's an excellent young man, talking about the Prophet ﷺ. And they would refer to people in their mid-40s and 50s, and sometimes they would say, you know, young, but not young as in he was young in 20s or 30s. But the point is, he said he's an excellent man and he's someone who is not be, like his face will not be like dishonored or anything. This is the interesting thing about the Quraysh and the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ back then, is that as much as they had animosity and hatred on a religious issue, they would not bring it over to say like, of course there were some circumstances, but in general, they would still speak the truth about the Prophet ﷺ, they still speak the truth about his conduct, and they wouldn't lie like that. So here, he doesn't like the religion, but he does recognize that this is an excellent person, even though he's the number one enemy of Islam. So then in the seventh year after the Hijrah, the people in Abyssinia, they came back. They returned to Medina under the leadership of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And this was in the seventh year after the Hijrah. The Prophet ﷺ was not in Medina at the time, but he was at Khaybar, and he had just opened the forts of Khaybar. And so when they came in Medina, they found the Prophet ﷺ is at Khaybar, so they missed the Prophet ﷺ so much. Instead of waiting for him, all of the people who just came back from Abyssinia, they went straight to Khaybar. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma adri," he said, "I do not know with which of these two to be more happy, bi fathi Khaybar am bi qudumi Ja'far wa man ma'a Ja'far, with the conquering of Khaybar, or with which should I be more happy with, the conquering of Khaybar, or with Ja'far coming and those with him?" So this was how the Prophet ﷺ received them. And this is when Abu Habiba radiallahu anha was met and joined with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now we're going to fast forward to another event, something else that took part wherein Habiba radiallahu anha was mentioned. And even though she's not really, like, there's not too much about like the incidents in her life, but she was ranked third in like knowledge, or as like translating or transmitting a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They consider her third in rank after Aisha and Salama. She comes third in, because she has transmitted about 65 a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hafsa, as we mentioned, she had transmitted about 60 a hadith. So number three here is Habiba radiallahu anha. So what happened is that during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, they made the peace, the Muslims made peace with the Quraysh for 10 years. And in the eighth year after the Hijrah, there were two tribes, Bakr and Khuda'a. So these two tribes now, each of them went One of them went with the Muslims and one of them went with the Quraysh. So the group that was with the Muslims was attacked suddenly by surprise and they were killed at the Kaaba. By doing this, they had basically nullified the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah. But they did this without the Muslims could fight against them. This is a big problem now. So they decided to send Abu Sufyan into Medina just to reaffirm that the Muslims are upon the peace treaty. The whole idea is that when they broke the peace treaty, the Quraysh were hoping that the Muslims don't know that they broke the peace treaty. So they sent Abu Sufyan quickly before the news got to them to reaffirm and reestablish the treaty. But what happened was the Muslims had already heard that they broke the treaty. So Abu Sufyan came and he spoke to the Prophet ﷺ, he's trying to renew the treaty. So the Prophet ﷺ said, did anything happen? Why are you here to renew it? So Abu Sufyan said, well, I'm just here to renew it. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't renew it with him. So he goes to Abu Bakr. Of course, Abu Bakr was not going to do something the Prophet ﷺ didn't do. So he goes to Umar. And Umar was the most severe against him. He says, wallahi, if I find nothing but ants, little ants, fighting you, I'm going to fight you with the ants. I'm going to join the ants and fight against you. So don't think that I'm going to give you any peace or renew the peace treaty. So then he goes to Ali radiallahu anhu. He goes to Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet. It doesn't work. So in the end, he says he will go to his daughter, Umm Habiba, the wife of the Prophet. So he enters upon her, and he had not seen her for 6 years. So he entered upon her, and of course her room was small, and there was just like a mat or like a kind of blanket on the floor. That was the bed. So he came to sit down on the bed. She suddenly jumped up and she folded it away from under him. So he was surprised at what she did. So he said to her, is the cover not worthy of me? Is this bed not worthy of me? Or am I not worthy of this bed? So he's saying, did you move the bed because it's not good enough for me? Or did you move it from me because I'm not good enough for that bed? It's just this mattress, or basically a blanket. So then she tells him, this is the bed of the Prophet ﷺ, and you are an unclean mushrik. Even though this is her father, and she had not seen him for 6 years, but you need to understand there's something greater than the family tie here. Much greater than that. This is the main enemy of Islam. And they just broke the treaty. And she is now the mother of the believers, one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. So now her allegiance was with Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger. And that allegiance, especially in a time when there's war against the enemy, she's not going to look at the family ties and take precedence over the allegiance to Allah and His Messenger. And so she knew very well where her allegiance lay. And that's why she removed it quickly. She said, this is the cover of the Prophet ﷺ, and you're an impure or unclean mushrik. So he was very surprised at her, and he said, you had a lot of, an evil has afflicted you after me, meaning after you've departed from me. But of course, just to make a nice end to the story, later on she hears about the Islam of her father and her brother Muawiyah, and she makes a sujood and thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they became Muslim. So we said, her place and knowledge, she ranked third amongst the wives of the Prophet sallam. She narrated 65 ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm sure we know a lot of the ahadith. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you at least two ahadith that for sure all of us have heard. These ahadith, though, we probably didn't know that they were narrated by Habiba radiallahu anha. So we'll hear them when we come back from the break, inshallah.
How you doing?
I can't believe you let him do this.
Why not? He can handle it.
Everybody's got experience.
You didn't have to.
Man, you don't look so good.
Man, I feel good.
Yeah. Hey, is he okay?
Hey, what's wrong?
Hey, we better pull over.
What's going on back there?
He's not breathing.
Pull over, pull over!
Oh my God.
كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome back to the show. We're talking about Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, Umm Habiba, otherwise known as Umm Habiba. And we're coming towards the end of her life. There isn't much more than what we kind of covered about her today. So we said that she was married to Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh before the Prophet ﷺ. They had the daughter Habiba. They migrated to Abyssinia with the second migration. While she was there, the Prophet ﷺ proposed to her in the first year after the Hijrah. And she stayed there for like 6 or 7 more years until she came back on the 7th year after the Hijrah, while the Prophet ﷺ had just conquered Khaybar. And then she remained there with the Prophet ﷺ until he passed away. And we said that she narrated 65 ahadith from the Prophet ﷺ. And we were about to mention some of the hadith that I'm sure a lot of us know and must have heard. One very famous hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "If it had not been so difficult, I would have liked my ummah to clean their teeth with the miswak, like with the toothstick, to brush their teeth before every prayer, just as they perform the wudu before every prayer." We all know this hadith, very famous hadith. Prophet ﷺ said that if it wasn't just an overburden for the ummah, I would have commanded them or would have liked them to brush their teeth for every salah, the same way they make wudu for every salah. But of course, this has not been a command of the Prophet ﷺ, but that's why the scholars say it's preferred, it's liked to for you to brush your teeth, but it's you don't have to do it, it's not obligatory. But this famous hadith that we all know is actually narrated by Habiba radiallahu anha. And it's narrated by Abu Dawood and Nisa'i and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and all that aids to the popularity of the hadith. Another hadith that's related by her radiallahu anha, whoever prays 4 voluntary rak'at of prayer before and after dhuhr prayer, Allah will make the hellfire forbidden for him. So if you pray 4 not obligatory, but 4 extra rak'at from you, like 2 and 2 before dhuhr, and then 2 and 2 after dhuhr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the hellfire forbidden. This hadith again narrated by Habiba radiallahu anha. Many of us have probably been praying the sunnah without knowing that it was our mother Habiba radiallahu anha who actually narrated this hadith. Then also she would say that she narrated the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that a house will be built in the garden for anyone who is within the space or the time of one day and night. He prays 12 voluntary rak'at. So that means the 2 rak'at before Fajr, then before Dhuhr and after Dhuhr, and then just all the the voluntary rak'at. If you pray these 12 within the day and night, meaning all the night and day prayers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for a house in the garden in paradise for you if you do that. And then this is what she says, and again this shows the caliber of Habiba radiallahu anha, and it shows what we've been talking about when we discuss all the mothers of the believers. All of them had this, like they were all devout, excellent worshippers of Allah. They would either sit and make dhikr of Allah for hours on end, or they would pray hours on end, or they would make like dua or recite Quran for hours upon hours. So what do you expect if Habiba radiallahu anha hears this from the Prophet ﷺ, that if you pray 12 voluntary rak'at within the night and day, a house will be built for you in paradise? She said, "I've never stopped doing this since I heard it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." All this time, I mean, she'd never stopped doing it. And now this is a challenge that if somebody wants to take this, or maybe some of the sisters or some of the mothers listening now, they would like to attempt to do this, especially if they have the time. So this will be an excellent way to follow the mothers of the believers as role models. But in the end, Habiba radiallahu anha, she spent 4 years with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was, and she dies like the year 44 after the Hijrah, and sometimes you'll find it's the year 46 after the Hijrah. And the interesting thing is, and the beautiful thing that she did, she actually sent for forgiveness from the other mothers of the believers. So she sent, Aisha radiallahu anha says that Habiba sent to me, meaning now when she's on her deathbed, she sent to Aisha saying that, you know, may Allah forgive me and may Allah forgive you for anything that happened between us, from jealousy or whatever kind of quarrel or things that naturally happen between like co-wives. So she's saying, may Allah forgive you, may Allah forgive me for anything that happened between us. And then Aisha was pleased and she said, there's nothing between us. And this kind of like, you know, like kind of purifying and clearing the hearts, and especially if someone's on their deathbed, they don't want to leave with any kind of animosity between them and friction between them and people, things of that sort. So she made peace like that with Aisha radiallahu anha. She sent the same message to Umm Salama, and Umm Salama responded with accepting it also in a good way. And that was the life of Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. But she was an example and a role model in being steadfast, because she experienced difficulty. She migrated and she went to Abyssinia, traveled from Mecca to Abyssinia while she was pregnant, stayed there. Her husband left Islam. She still remained strong. And he actually, in some narrations, he tried to bring her into Christianity, but she resisted that, of course. And she remained there being patient. She wasn't like crying and complaining and saying, what am I going to do? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded her with her good patience by making her one of the mothers of the believers, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was also an excellent example in having clear allegiance to Allah azza wa jal and to His Messenger. And this is something that a lot of people sometimes, they become confused and they don't know if their allegiance comes first to their religion or to their country or to their party or to whatever it is. But it was not unclear at all with Habiba radiallahu anha. It was very clear that it was about the allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, especially when the other group were people who were in a state of war with Muslims. And there's a slight difference when there's war and there's a time of peace. And so in the time of war, even family members become enemies, but in time of peace, your family members are your family members, just so that no one misunderstands that part. So that's the end of the life of Habiba radiallahu anha, Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. And inshallah, in the next episode, we're going to start talking about Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab. Safiya radiallahu anha, who was from originally a Jewish descent, and she was from the descendants of Harun alayhi salam, the brother of Musa alayhi salam. And the fact, I mean, of course, she accepted Islam before she being married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So sometimes you'll find in books that the Prophet had a wife that was Jewish. That is not correct. She accepted Islam before, as you will discover when we talk about her the next time, inshallah. At least I hope you've enjoyed the life of Habiba radiallahu anha. And until the next time, we're going to talk about Safiya, the daughter of Huyay ibn Akhtab. So if you don't know anything about Safiya, then you make sure you don't miss the next episode. I hope you've enjoyed this one. And I thank you for being an excellent audience. Sallallahu mubarak ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.